Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast for a DFS episode to get you ready for the big weekend. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere as always, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, what's up, man?
Nothing, dude. It's football day. I know that this podcast is going to come out like you know after the game's played, but I'm freaking psyched. We're actually watching a real football game tonight.
You know, I had pizza last night. I was telling you about that before the podcast. I think I should probably order pizza tonight just to celebrate the NFL season, right?
We're having some friends over, so I'm definitely going to be cheating on my diet.
There you go, dude. Our guest today is Doug Norrie of DFSR.com, and you can follow Doug on Twitter at his name, Doug Norrie. Doug, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, excited to talk football. Equally excited about pizza and football and all the guys' things you guys express, so getting pumped.
There you go, yeah. By the way, if you guys haven't played DFS, stick around for the show. There's going to be a lot of useful information for your redraft leagues, too. We're going to have some fun as well, and you can learn a little bit about DFS and maybe get into it in the long run. Now, I usually like to start the show with like a story or something dorks like Tags find funny. But guys, I'm just so pumped to talk about football. I just want to dive right in. Is that cool with you, Tags, or do you need like a dad joke?
No, I usually appreciate your dad jokes or your bad food takes, but definitely down to talk some football today.
All right, man. Cool. Well, you know, we need to get into the news, and we will in just a second. First, I want to remind you all, though, we've got a new giveaway for our listeners going on. One lucky listener is going to get a signed Todd Gurley throwback Rams jersey from Pristine Auction. Being an old Rams fan, this thing is beautiful. And I'm jealous somebody's going to get this. It's a great thing. And all you have to do to sign up is go to fantasypros.com/contest. It takes about 30 minutes to submit an entry. All you have to do really is leave us a rating and review on iTunes, which we really appreciate. We read them all. We love the feedback, good or bad. We just want to know how to make the show better. And while you're doing it, check out what Pristine Auction has for you. They've got hundreds of lots that end daily. Everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And you aren't going to believe just how affordable some of this is. I saw a John Ross signed Bengals jersey for $46 yesterday. Signed Jerry Rice 49ers jersey for $98. A Le'Veon Bell signed helmet for $68. Tags, you could have used that for your collection, man. That's a great deal.
I have a Le'Veon Bell one. Unfortunately, it seems like it might go to waste because I don't think he's going to be on the Steelers very much longer, but I do have a Le'Veon Bell signed Steelers helmet.
So again, it's pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. And when you buy something from them, make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. All right, guys, we do have some news to cover. I want to give ample time to the DFS landscape, though, so my goal is to keep this as short and sweet as possible. Doug, Le'Veon Bell, this just keeps getting worse. Is 10 weeks a real possibility?
I mean, it sure seems like it. That's what all the signal has been, right? And I've been wondering, too, in the short term, how much people use what he did last year as a complete and total 100% proxy for what he was going to do this year, and it was just wrong, right? And I know he signaled some stuff early, like on Twitter and some other things, but I think people looked at it like, oh, he did this last year, he'll just do it again, and it's clearly different. And so I think that we're in a very interesting situation. I think it's going to be pretty clear cut. I think we'll probably know today, right? I mean, what do you guys think? Because I think we'll know almost 100% today whether he's almost not going to play on Sunday.
I don't think so. I think he's going to, I think we'll find out on Saturday, and I still think that he's coming back. Now, I didn't recommend drafting him in the first round last night because you have no idea, but I think he'll probably be back Saturday. Like, it makes sense what his agent is saying, right? It's his last year in the contract. He's a franchise player, and they're just going to run him into the ground because who cares? They're just going to let him go next year, and his agent doesn't want that. But Bell wants to play football. He's going to be on the field, right, Tags?
I don't know. I'm starting to worry about this, and it seems like week 10 is a real possibility because I looked into it a little bit more, and it appears that by sitting out, he's going to lose $800,000 per game. And he's thinking in the long run, his check that he would get in free agency is going to be worth more than the games that he's going to miss if he were to miss those first 10 games. Now, the issue here is that some people have talked about a trade. Like, will the Steelers trade him? Obviously, there's a lot of the players in the locker room coming about and talking about this situation and, like, calling out Le'Veon Bell.
Which is so funny, right? Because I said yesterday they were all going to support him and it blew up in my face.
It's really nuts. But the thing is he's franchised and the Steelers have said that they're not going to remove the franchise tag. So it means if he's traded, it's a one-year deal, and that's it. That's basically what he's on. So he has to stay on that, and he's going to be a free agent, so it's like a one-year rent-a-player. So I think by Saturday, if he's not there, Bobby, there's people that are saying that he's going to show up next week, and I'm like, why would he show up next week if he didn't show up this week? So I think if he's not there by Saturday, I think you need to brace yourself for a long holdout.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to end up. My guess is the 49ers. Like, I love Alfred Morris, Matt Breida, but if they can get Le'Veon Bell, 49ers are a playoff team this year. They'll at least compete. The NFC is really hard.
Yeah, I wondered about that. There's a few teams out there that could look at him, but I don't think it's going to happen, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams tried really hard to get Khalil Mack, so maybe they would just go get Le'Veon Bell and stick him at wide receiver. They're kind of crazy. Okay, a couple really short ones. Josh Gordon, Rashard Matthews, Rex Burkhead, they're all apparently going to be limited this week. Of course, we don't know if it's coach speak or whatever. Doug, do any of these, do you think that they're not true, maybe that we are going to see a lot of Josh Gordon or maybe Rex Burkhead?
Deciphering coach speak and news like this is, I think, the single hardest thing to do outside of, you know, trying to figure out a new team scheme, right? Like, if you're under a new head coach or new offensive coordinator or whatever. Aside from that, figuring these kind of things out is just impossible. And I've actually just started to just, in some ways, ignore it. Or what I'll do is I'll just trend things down just for safety purposes because, sure, you can miss some upside, and there's usually some truth, and you're not getting all, like, the Saints are horrible about this every single year. Really, just every team is. So I think it's fine to play it safe on guys like Gordon and Burkhead. You don't really want to play them in cash games at all. There's GPP upside for both. I've maybe been burned too many times on things coaches have said and taken that as gospel or Bible verse, and I think that it's basically a mistake. I think you can downward guide if there's, like, some injury stuff, or they're not going to start the game and kind of just play it from there because they just really can't be trusted. There's no incentive for them to tell the truth. So why even bother?
I'm with you. Like, I'll play Josh Gordon in some GPP lineups. Like, I'm not going to throw him out there all the time. And same with Rex Burkhead. But with that said, yeah, I want some exposure. You don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be plenty of exposure on both these guys because a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Tags, what do you think about these three? Do you want to play any of them?
I mean, Rex Burkhead is someone that I'll definitely want to play in tournaments because it says that he was cleared and he's practicing and stuff like that. He knows the offense, and they kind of need him to play, to be in all honesty. But the play here is just James White. I think this just keeps playing into James White. It's like, you need to play James White. Like, I'm playing him in cash this week. I'm going to play him in tournaments. I'm going to own so much James White. If he has a bad game, legitimately, you're going to hear me on the podcast Sunday night in a really bad mood.
Even if James White doesn't run the ball 8-10 times, like, he's their number two receiver this week, right?
He could lead the team. Like, there is a situation in my mind that James White sees double digit targets this week. And I think, and it's like, it could be a 2-touchdown game for him.
There's, and you know, it's funny. That was going to be one of the guys I was going to throw out as a GPP, not to turn this into the James White podcast, I guess, but this is, I did a deeper dive on him yesterday and I talked myself into sort of the same thing. Like, 2 years ago, second in targets on the team. And there's a real scenario where if Houston gets up early, White is a tremendous play because the games where they came from behind last year, those were the games that he really, like, saw double digit targets in each of them. I believe not the third one, not the Dolphins one, but the first two games where they were coming from behind. I think he, you know, even as a safety valve kind of thing, he has tremendous upside for a very cheap price. And I do not think the ownership on him will be very high.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be super high either unless, like, everybody listening to this podcast plays him. Like, I don't think he's a lock. I think James White is a really good play, and I'll tell you why later. There's another cheap guy that I like even more than James White. I almost slipped his name. I'm going to save it, though. Tags, you know who it is, and we're going to fight about this big time on the show, so stay tuned for that part of it. Now, guys, before we really get into it, I want to explain DFS, and I'm sorry for the guys who have played a lot of it, but there are a lot of new people to it, and I want to break it down. Primarily on the show, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about FanDuel and DraftKings every single week. We're going to look at those price points, and what you do is you build a lineup, right? You've got a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a defense. And you have so much money in your budget to buy those players for your lineup. It's just 1 week, so if you lose, you just play the next week. It's a lot of fun, absolute blast to get a bunch of lineups in there and see what happens. You've got a GPP, which we'll be referring to. Those are the big tournaments where you really want to hit home runs, right? Doug, what is the difference in strategy between GPP and cash games?
From a high level, it's you for cash games, you're looking for safety because you just need to finish in the top 50%. Well, with rake, it's a little higher, depending on the contest you choose. But, you know, let's say top 50 to 40%, somewhere in there to double up your money. And you want to go for safety, maybe known quantities, low standard deviation guys there. And then for GPPs, you want to diversify some of your plays. You want to try to find some lower owned plays and stack, and there's a bunch of different strategies that go into that. But essentially, you are trying to maximize complete and utter upside, right? Because you need to finish at the very top of a very big contest, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of entries possibly. So that's the high level difference between them. There's more strategy and stuff that goes into each of those things, but I guess from a layman's perspective, that is the difference between those two contest types.
Yeah, that's right. So like on FanDuel, what you're aiming for is something I call 2.5x value. So you've got $60,000 to spend. You need 150 points to double up your money. So that's, you know, 2.5 points for every $1,000 that the player is worth. Like in GPP contests, you need a lot more than that. You probably need, what, 4.5, 5x value tags?
I mean, if you can aim for 3x value, you basically have to set that as the baseline and obviously hope that players have more upside than that.
Players with that kind of ceiling, yeah.
And it really depends though. I mean, like the thing is there's different size tournaments and I think that's where a lot of people kind of screw up. Myself, I did when I first started playing DFS is that if you join like the Millie Maker and like these ones that have like these contests that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in there, you have to go full contrarian. You have to go with players that legitimately nobody's going to have in their lineup where it's like, if you're going to play in like a tournament with let's say 2,000 people, it's a lot smaller and you could build your lineup somewhat safe and then throw one or two players in there that are that differentiate yours from everybody else's, so you have some safety but you also have the upside because you're throwing out a few plays that aren't quite considered the chalk.
I mean, that's a good strategy to make money and everything, but like beyond making money, I also want to have fun in those GPP contests with hundreds of thousands of entries. So fun, man.
Oh yeah, no, there's something for everybody in DFS. That's what I love.
I want to win $1 million, dude. We could eat pizza every day for the rest of our. I mean, I guess we could anyway because we're adults. But I could pay for the health repercussions of eating pizza every day for the rest of my life.
Oh man, I do want to say this. If I won $1 million, I would be right back here on Monday doing a podcast with you, Bobby.
One thing about the Millie Maker: 2 years ago, one of our users did win the Millie, and I interviewed him the next day, and he had only put one lineup in. I know this is the idea behind the podcast. He had put one lineup in, a $120 lineup. I think that was a buy-in at the time, and just spiked the nuts on just having stacked a couple things. And I actually did an interview with him the next day, and he was like, if there was one guy you could choose to just have won the million, this was the guy. He was like, oh, maybe I'll buy a new car. I'm going to put my sister through college, buy
That's
my parents
awesome.
A house. I was like, oh, dude.
Cool.
I mean, if anyone could win the million, I appreciate that this was the kind of guy.
That was
but
the guy.
I will say one thing about GPPs. If you are new to DFS and you want to give yourself the best chance, like most bang for your buck, I would say you're better off playing like $20 worth of the 50-cent buy-in and putting in 40 lineups than one $20 entry into the Millie Maker. Like in terms of you're trying to just get, now of course you're not going to win a million, but in terms of just overall equity, the Millie Maker is very difficult to win. And I think you give yourself, if you're just looking bang for your buck. So that's like my other little GPP buy-in strategy would be to diversify among a smaller group of the same buy-in range, but just put in more lineups than just trying to just one-off it. Because I think, you know, of course you want to spread your odds a little bit.
Plus, if you stack like Andy Dalton and the Bengals, and the Bengals suck, then your day is really boring. If you've got 40 lineups, you've got one that at least that's going to compete. So you'll have something to watch in the afternoon that you can go, you know, get really excited about. All right, guys. So let's start with, we're not going to start with quarterback just because we always do that. And then there's not enough time to talk about the really important position. So I want to start with running back today. Doug, is there one player that really stands out to you as just like, he's going to be chalk, you got to use him?
Well, this is why the Bell news is so important, right? Because if Bell doesn't play, then James Conner essentially jumps to the very top of the pack in terms of just overall value. Two things that happen in DFS is, one, you're always looking for injury value, but two, the pricing on week one came out so early that it's very soft. So, you know, if we had had this Le'Veon Bell news, oh, I don't know, a month ago or whatever, James Conner would be, I don't know, 50% higher in terms of just overall salary. So I think the week to start hinges on whether, for cash games, whether Bell is going to play or not. Because if he does not play, if he does play, then forget this. But I wouldn't play either of the guys. But if he doesn't play, then Conner, just the guy, right? Am I wrong? I don't see another avenue here. I think he'll be the highest owned player in cash games. I don't think he'll be particularly close.
I don't think Bell's going to play. Like, they might sign him, but they're probably just going to say, don't even suit up. Tags, do you think he's going to play?
I don't think he's playing. I took him out of the rankings. I think this is Connor's backfield. Even if Bell shows up on Saturday, I think that they punish him and say, you're not playing this week.
Yeah, agreed. And Connor, we've seen this too. It's 2 years ago now, but we've seen a Pittsburgh system where they just did fill somebody in for Bell, and that was D'Angelo Williams. Again, it was 2 years ago. The system has not changed all that much.
He was every bit as good as Bell.
And that's what I mean. And he did all the things that Connor will be asked to do, which is to say he'll play every down. Like, he already caught a bunch of balls in the preseason, so we know he has pass-catching ability. We know that the plan is to give him the ball. The Steelers just do this. They don't do any running back by committee thing. They have Bell, or they have the next guy up who's going to do all the same thing. So I think...
And Connor's awesome. Like, Connor is a 23-year-old. I know D'Angelo Williams was a very good football player. He was also 32 when he did that. I think a 23-year-old James Connor, who's a stud, by the way, can be as good or very close to as good as D'Angelo Williams was when he was the RB2 in fantasy football.
Connor's a good play. I think the Browns defense is better than people give them credit for, though. We talked about it yesterday, and the fact that they allowed 3.3 yards per carry last year. Even if you go back to the week one game in Cleveland that they played last year, Le'Veon and James Connor combined for 43 yards on 14 carries. I mean, it was a bad game for the both of them. The offensive line lost a little bit this offseason, obviously, to the Browns. They lost their offensive coordinator to the Browns. I know that the Browns defense obviously got better, but Greg Williams, I don't have much faith in him as a defensive coordinator to be able to game plan. I don't know what he does if Le'Veon Bell, if he sits out, if Greg Williams is like, we're not going to change our game plan. It's one player. We're not going to let that impact. He seems like the type of guy that would do that. So I'm not like going totally out of my way to go Connor. I think he's a fine play in cash, but I don't think he's as great as a tournament play as some people are making him out to be, considering he's 4,500 and you can get other options in your lineup in that price range that I think have just as much, if not more, upside.
If James Conner was going up against the Minnesota Vikings or the Tennessee Titans or the Jacksonville Jaguars, even at this price, I would have hesitation to play him. And Cleveland's run defense is not much worse than those. Like, Minnesota's the best, but Cleveland's a top five run defense. Now, I think he's going to get 18-plus touches. And so at $5,000, yeah, I think you kind of have to play him if Le'Veon Bell is out of the lineup. But I don't think it's like the greatest play ever. Maybe next week it will be.
Well, next week he'll be more expensive.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Next week, if he's an 80%, 75% cash game play, he will not be 4,500 anymore. He'll be 6,500. I think my one thing, so I have two things about the Browns. One is their rush defense was very good. And I had this number before and I closed the query, but if you factor in level of competition, the run defense doesn't look as good because they did not play. I mean, they played Bell twice, but they did not play a ton of good running backs. So you can get, the numbers can get a little wonky if you're just looking at like playing, I don't have the number exactly here, but like the Frank Gores of the world instead of just like, you know, a hardcore upper tier running back every single week. So that's my one thing. The other thing with Connor is where I'm looking, especially for cash games, is game script. Like, what happens to a running back in different game scripts? And so in there's no situation where he's just not on the field. And that's why I actually don't even mind if I'm taking a hit on a good run defense. Almost every game script works out in his favor because he's just on the field. That's the key. So there's a difference between, like Alfred Morris, Matthew Breida, right? Like, that might make a difference in terms of which one of those guys gets carries or what happens in a game. Like, if they're playing hurry up offense or whatnot. Connor, if he's just going to be the lead back and the come from behind back, then to me, there's no real reason to get away from him in cash at these prices personally. And so that's where I think game script, like just walking yourself through the things that can happen in a game and understanding that almost no matter what happens, if there's no Bell, this guy's every, like an every snap running back. And I think there's a tremendous safety in that.
there's so much value at wide receiver, though, that I almost wonder, like, if there is a benefit to be had in loading up on the two best running backs this week.
Well, you can do the three best. You can do the three best because of the flex. So with FanDuel and DraftKings, you can actually do the three best points per dollar, let's say, running backs on the thing, and take all the wide receiver value. So I don't think you're not just choosing two. I think you are almost definitely, for cash games, playing three running backs this week, without a doubt.
By the way, there's a lot of newbies, so I don't know if a lot of new people playing DFS this week, and so I don't know if James Conner is going to be 75% owned. I think a lot of people are going to load up on, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, and then go from there and figure it out. Tex, do you think that Alvin Kamara and David Johnson are the one and two running backs this week, or is there somebody else that you like more, just in terms of projected points?
Well, I mean, if you're excluding Todd Gurley, because Todd Gurley's the number one play. Like, it's impossible not to like Todd Gurley when you look at that Raiders front seven. It's just the linebacking core is an entirely new unit. They have no continuity together. They just swapped out their starting safeties. Nobody knew he was even playing until a couple weeks ago. So Gurley's the number one play at the running back position. But Kamara, I'm playing Kamara. I don't see a scenario where Alvin Kamara does not score this week. Like, I don't see one. I think you could pair him with Drew Brees and be just fine. I love Kamara at 8,500, especially on DraftKings in a PPR format. Mike Gillisley coming in. Are we worried about him? I'm not necessarily worried about him because, like, Mark Ingram was losing some carries to Alvin Kamara on the goal line towards the end of the season. We saw Sean Payton pull Mark Ingram on the goal line before, and Mark Ingram's throwing a temper tantrum on the sideline. So I'm not going to sit here and assume that Mike Gillisley automatically has that job. He's been with the team for 1 week. They cut Boston Scott. There's just so little competition here for Alvin Kamara. I know they said they didn't want to give him too much work, but I think he's going to get a ton of it, especially in the passing game. So I think Kamara and Gurley are probably my top two plays. I don't think David Johnson's a bad one in cash, but I'm actually on the flip side of you guys. Like,
is Gurley available in DraftKings on the main slate?
No.
Well, there's different slates, right? So there's the slate that has 15 games, and then there's the main slate that has, I think it's just 12.
Yeah, I'm talking primarily about the main slate. I didn't even consider Gurley for this because I don't play off the main slate, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I tried to look at the entire thing to give people a grasp because I just don't want people to forget Gurley is out there and he's still great. Melvin Gordon, I love at 6,800 on DraftKings. Like,
how can you not?
I don't know why I'd play David Johnson over him. Melvin Gordon has a better matchup. They are at home. The Chiefs are not a very good defense right now. They've lost so many players on that front seven.
Gordon's going to be huge in the pass game, too. Like, I know David Johnson will be as well, but if you can save a buck and get someone who I think is a very similar running back this week, why not do it?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not even just a buck. I mean, Melvin Gordon is 6,800. David Johnson's 2,000 more. I would much rather this week pay up for wide receivers. Like, I want to pay for the targets in my cash games. So, like, my favorite running back play, and I don't know, I want to hear you guys where you're at. Alex Collins, 5,600, is like a must play for me.
Okay, so Doug, I'm going to turn it over to you in just a second to see what you think about all these players. But first, I want to talk about one of the sponsors of today's show, DraftKings.com. Football makes its long-anticipated return to living rooms across America this week, and that means bragging rights and huge cash prizes up for grabs at DraftKings.com, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. For the season opener, DraftKings is hosting a fantasy football contest that is $10 to enter and has a $1 million top prize that I'm winning. But for a limited time only, if you sign up with the code FANTASYPROS today, that's all one word, DraftKings is going to give you a free entry with your first deposit. They've also got Single Game Showdown, which is the newest way to play. All you have to do is draft six players for this week's game, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Put your football knowledge to work. Top prize is $1 million, but you don't have to come first to be a winner. There's over $2.5 million in total prizes, which means thousands of winners. So download the app or go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, to sign up and make your first deposit. When you do, DraftKings is going to give you a shot at $1 million. That's code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings.com. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Tex, did you see what our developers did with the lineup optimizer, like all the changes they made? It is so good, dude.
I was legitimately messing with it this morning. You could actually pick out your favorite experts. It's like one of the things we do with rankings in general. And now that we've added it to the DFS optimizer, where it's like you can pick out your favorite experts. So if you wanted to pick me and Bobby for whatever reason, you go there and you select us, and it'll basically take our rankings, put them into projections, and then tell you what the best plays per dollar, fantasy dollar that you spend in DFS is. It's so nice to be able to have these tools available on our site. These guys have spent a lot of time. It's very user friendly, and that's the part I like most about it. it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so if you're playing cash, there's different settings for all these things. Go there, check it out, and just mess with it. Like, just sit there. And even if you only want to play a couple lineups this week, you can mess with it and kind of figure out things.
I mean, it literally takes seconds. And this is, like, really sound. It's not like some kind of project. They worked on this for months and months in the offseason. It's beautiful. It's easy to use. And it works. You're going to win cash and GPP prizes in just, it takes seconds to build these winning lineups. You can generate up to 150 at a time using the multi-lineup generator. Like Tag said, you can pick the experts whose projections you want to use, exclude players, you can lock players, whatever you want to do, import easily into your favorite DFS site, whether it's DraftKings or FanDuel. I love this thing. If you go to the Home Fantasy Pros page, you'll see the DFS dropdown. So just go under that, click on Lineup Optimizer, and you are going to love it. Okay, so what do you think, Doug, about Alex Collins, about Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Kamara?
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick rewind. So I'm going to go back to Kamara real quick. The Kamara thing, just to piggyback, is there, you know, if you're looking at things that you can point to or touch points going into a game that will help you get a sense of where what one position will do well. There is, I ran a study in the offseason about where how Vegas odds correlated to running back performance, and there was a pretty extreme spike in the graph for teams that are -6.5 and more favorites at home. It kind of works on the road too, but there's just less of those games because it's rare to have home favorites or excuse me, road favorites like that. There is a big time spike in the graph. And if you look at this week, there are only two running backs that actually fit that bill, and it's actually Kamara and Collins. Now, I think Collins is more of a GPP play, simply because I'm a little worried about the opportunity. I think Kamara could also be the highest owned player if it's not for Connor. I think that's where I think that everyone is on this situation. I agree with you about Gillislee not really being the answer. He like wasn't the plan weeks ago, and I know they jettisoned everybody else and then brought him in. But I think Kamara.
I'm a lot more worried about Gillislee though than I am, Edmonds or whoever it is backing up David Johnson in Arizona. I think Johnson is going to get 10 more touches than Kamara this week.
Interesting. I disagree. I think I'm a little worried about the Johnson part. I'm worried about his just team in general. Washington's not a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, the implied total for the Saints is 30. For the Cardinals, it's 23, so you're right.
Well, that's right. If you're looking for a tiebreaker on two guys that we have projected fairly similarly, we have Kamara higher. If you're just looking for a tiebreaker, just take the Vegas and the home thing and call it a day on Kamara. I think that's a pretty easy call, all things considered. And then, you know, Collins, there's a guy that I've been writing up for GBP plays. I love him and his price. I don't think I go there in cash because they just have some of the other guys behind him, Dixon and Allen. I don't think they siphon off too much of his usage, but just having those two guys does make me a little bit gun shy on those two.
For cash games, at least. Yeah, I love Collins for GPP.
Right, and like I can't overstate the home favorite thing. It was really startling to see how many carries that the difference that a team gets. Again, chicken or egg, because you need to be a good team, but to even come in with those kind of odds and spreads, but. All things being equal, though, I would say if you don't have your own projection system, start looking at that number first and decide where are the running backs in the best situations.
Okay, guys, so let's move on. There's a couple other running backs that I'm really fond of that we haven't mentioned yet. Leonard Fournette against the Giants, who were just horrible last season. And then Joe Mixon against the Colts, who are horrible. Would you consider playing either of these guys in cash games, or is it all Kamara and James Conner for you, Doug?
Well, Fournette is a guy I would consider Fournette for sure. Fournette, I put in very few future bets to start the season. Fournette, I did put in one at like 9-1 to just take the overall rushing title this season. I love Fournette going into this year. Everything about what they're doing screams that they're just going to possibly just give him the ball more than last year, which seems insane, but it could be possible. Like to enter that elite group of usage guys, he's already really there.
Well, they have Norwell now, so they might as well run it every single play.
That's what I mean. And so, like, I think that he represents tremendous. Like, if there's a guy in this upper tier that could be much more expensive even going into next week, I do think Fournette is there. Fournette, as compared to David Johnson, is actually even a close one when you factor in price for me. That's just how much I love Fournette here. I probably would just see the thing about cash games at this point is I really want to go with the most known quantities, and Fournette does check that box. And so I really can't overstate how much I like him this year. I think he was a guy that I was probably even more bullish on. Even understanding that people were already very bullish on what he could do this season.
Mm-hmm. Tags, what do you think about these two guys, man?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette is a stud. I think people forget how good he was at the start of last year before he hurt his ankle and then missed some time. Because if you look at it, like even if you play on DraftKings, even in a PPR format with Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon on the roster, I know Yeldon missed the first couple weeks, but 21.4 points, 14.1, 17 points, 24 points, 31 points, 21 points. It's like Leonard Fournette was just kind of going off. You know, he was like doing what rookies aren't supposed to do over the first 6 weeks of the season. Then he got hurt. So obviously then people started to talk about his yards per carry and this and that. The offensive line was improved this offseason. It's obviously his second year in the league. They added some receivers to the offense, so maybe it could help take some pressure off of him. I like Fournette. I don't think I would play him in cash, just considering all of the other good options we have for cheaper than him. But I have him, like, I love him as a tournament play. I mean, I'm struggling to not play like someone like Joe Mixon. Mixon's $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings, and I know everybody's playing Andy Dalton. I just think Joe Mixon is going to turn out to be like a guy that's so underowned because there's options that are cheaper than him that might look better. Like James Conner.
Yeah, everyone's going to play A.J. Green, Joe Mixon, Andy Dalton.
You can't play them all, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's like if people are going to go to 61, they're like, I might as well go up to Christian McCaffrey or Leonard Fournette or Melvin Gordon.
No, it's Joe Mixon.
But I feel like Mixon's like in that area where it's like I think he could be a really good tournament play because I don't think he's going to be very heavily owned.
The encouraging thing on Mixon is that like as the season wore on, his yards per carry at least ticked up near the end of the year because he looked really damn bad to start the season last year. Now, some of it's offensive line and just offensive scheme stuff.
He's totally different this year. I'm a huge believer now.
Well, he did lose weight, right? Like he was in better shape. And so he's less weight, I believe, than he was last year. I get a little concerned that there was just lots of times where he was just bad last season. And so, and it's still the Bengals. And I get that they're maybe have more hands on deck this year. And it's still, and it's Indy. This one's a close one for me. I there's no way I'm touching any cash because I do not think he's on the field if they're playing from behind. Like that wouldn't, like, I think that's Gio Bernard or whatever. And so I don't think that for cash, I don't want to count on the Bengals just winning the game and trying to run downhill. That's a really, really tricky spot to be. And so that would be my hesitation on him. And I guess, because I was very heavy on Mixon last season because I just kept waiting for it and it just took forever to materialize.
It's a little too risky for cash games for me.
Yeah, it just took forever to materialize. That's my only problem. It's still the Bengals. It's still Andy Dalton and it's the Colts. I don't know. This one's a close call for me. There's probably other cheap guys in this range that I prefer to mix in.
Yeah, like I love the play for GPP. I'm going to have a ton of shares, but I just with the options like Kamara, Johnson, Fournette, Connor, I can't do it.
That's why I'm saying Mixon's going to be so under-owned because of all that stuff going on around him. And
I don't care about ownership, though, for cash games, do you?
No, not in cash, but I'm saying I'm the opposite of Doug. Doug, by the way, I'm a huge Mixon like fan of his talent, and I was totally opposed to him last year. Bobby and I got into it. Jake Seeley was on the show. He loved Joe Mixon. I was like, no. I love Mixon the player, but seriously, do not draft him. It was not the year. But this year, I am much more open to rostering Joe Mixon and playing him in DFS because if you watch during the preseason, they did use him as a wide receiver. So it tells me they know that he's even a better receiver than Gio Bernard. So if the game script does go south, that's what I like about Mixon, is that he's a better receiver than even Gio Bernard is. I really believe that. He's a bigger pass-blocking back than Gio Bernard is. So I think they're going to use him in all different sorts of situations. But the reason that I can't love Mixon, even especially in cash, is like when you look for a cash running back, just so you guys at home listening, one of the biggest things is finding a home favorite. If you find a favorite, like especially like a touchdown favorite at home, typically those running backs, like they're the safest plays in cash. Joe Mixon's on the road and they're 3-point underdogs. So it's obviously not great that way. So I think Mixon's only for tournaments for me, but and that's why I said, Bobby, is like you started saying about all those other plays. That's why I think Mixon's going to be so little owned, even in a great matchup against a Colts team that is going to start two rookies. Their entire linebacking core, I've said it before, they have combined to start 7 games in the NFL.
That is not good, and they're not very good either. So, Tags, so we talked about James White a little bit. We talked about James Conner, all the top-end running backs, you know, Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, Fournette, Gordon, so on. Is there anyone else you'd even consider for cash games at running back?
Carlos Hyde.
Okay. I have Carlos Hyde in my – I had him in my lineup until I replaced him with the next guy I'm going to talk about. Yeah, Carlos Hyde's a great play.
It shouldn't shock anybody if Carlos Hyde outproduces James Conner in this game and they're the same exact price on DraftKings. Because like when you look at the Steelers, what happened when Ryan Shazier went down, like they're just not the same team. Like they don't have that run stopping presence. And it kind of goes back to when Shazier missed time, I think it was in 2016, when he was out for a few games, they really struggled against the run too. So Carlos Hyde is one that I would really consider for cash at 4,500. And I know Bobby's got his guy that we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, my guy, and Doug, you're going to have to tell me what you think about this, is Jordan Wilkins. I mean, Marlon Mack's been missing practice. They already named Wilkins the starter. I don't think Mack's going to play. I mean, Tags, you can't tell me that you're worried about Christine Michael or Nyheim Hines. Jordan Wilkins is a lock to get 15-plus touches, maybe 20-plus, and he's going up against a Bengals defense that gave up 23 fantasy points per game to running backs last year. That's second worst in football, and Vontaze Burfict is out there, only run stopper. Wilkins is going to eat, man.
Wilkins didn't look great in the preseason, though, man. Like, that's the thing. Is, like, if Wilkins, like, showed up and he was just, like, and I was convinced that he was going to run away with this job. But Christine Michael has experience in the NFL. They kept him on the roster. They gave him a start in the preseason. I'm not convinced that Jordan Wilkins is going to be, like, a workhorse this week. That's why, I mean, he's 3,700. You're not taking much risk to play him. The offensive line looked pretty bad in the preseason. Now, granted, that offensive line is going to get better as the year goes on. There's three new pieces on it. It's going to take time for continuity between those guys. But Jordan Wilkins at 3,700, when I can go up to 4,500 and get James Conner or Carlos Hyde, I'm going to take Hyde or Conner every time. But Wilkins, he's not a bad play, but I happen to think a lot of people are going to be playing Jordan Wilkins this week.
Really? Oh, man, I don't know. What do you think, Doug?
Okay, so I'm going to rewind. I'll go back to Hyde for real quick. So in the Hyde situation, I do not like him for cash because of the on-the-road favorites. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I this time of year, I prioritize known situations more than anything else. And he's on the Browns, which is going to, like, which automatically just sort of dings in, like, the known territory kind of piece. From a GPP perspective, if you're looking to correlate a stack, a very easy one to do is to do Hyde and then, like, Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, or Roethlisberger and Juju. Because in games where Hyde is going crazy, almost 100% the Steelers are playing from behind, right? Like, if you're trying to look at game script, kind of like, which, you know, if A happens, then what happens with B kind of thing, that is exactly the kind of thing you want to do. So you're like, okay, I stack Hyde. That means the Steelers, I roll Hyde. That means the Steelers are coming from behind. Well, what's the avenue for them coming behind there? It's Antonio Brown, 14 targets or something like that. You know, it's Juju breaking something off because they need to pass. So that is where I do like Hyde. I would not trust it from a cash game perspective. And the Wilkins thing, it might just be because I have like PTSD about situations like that, but guessing on teams in flux, like, and I guess they wanted Mac to be the guy, and that was going to be what it was, you know, that was going to be the running back situation. There's too many unknowns for me. Like, we've been in situations where it seems so obvious that a player was going to get the opportunity, only to have, you know, friends texting me or people on Twitter being like, why isn't he on the field yet? That's my, you know, I'm thinking back to like Denver and their running back situations for a couple of years. And I don't know, there's too many to name really, but that's my only concern. But again, you know, and this is like, it's such a silly thing from DFS perspective. And it's almost like a running joke is that whenever you're unsure, you just say they're a GPP play. It's like the laziest analysis ever. I'm victim of it every single week for every single day, basically for all time. And just say, oh, I'm not sure, GPP play, because it's just a default setting. So it sounds sort of disingenuous when I keep saying that, and it can also sort of be true. And so I just want to like caution people that have heard that, because it's, again, I'm trying to be intellectually honest, and people, I just hear everyone say like, oh, you know, shrug my shoulders, GPP play. So I think that's kind of where I am with Wilkins, and I know it's not a great answer.
Well, there's one other guy I want to talk about before we move on. I guess we should probably mention some upside GPP plays for running back too, but Dalvin Cook, he goes up against the 49ers, who we picked on all last season. And he was a workhorse last year, and I know Latavius Murray's there, but at his price, is this someone we should be considering too, Doug?
Ah, man, guys coming back for injury are like my biggest stayaways. I just can't really even get on board. I don't even really want to get on board. I'm going to go the opposite way of what I just said. I'm actually not even really going to get on board for GVP here. I don't see a tremendous amount of upside from Cook because there's just no incentive to really run him crazy in this game. Like, why would you do it? The Vikings can take a long look at their season and say, sort of win or lose this game, we have Super Bowl aspirations, right? And they're not going to hinge on us beating the Niners in week one. So we'd like to win, but at what cost? Like, this is a very smart organization. At what cost? And they are not the team that will say, you know, here's the ball 25 times, sort of like what was happening. Because I don't think they thought of this way early last season. I don't think they thought their trajectory was going to be where they are now. And now that they're here, I just don't see a situation where, if they're winning by a lot, is he on the field? No way, right? They'll just run Latavius Murray. And if they're playing catch-up, maybe? But I just don't see that. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to say I'm off of him cash and GPP this week.
Okay.
I agree.
Tags, are there any running backs that you love for GPP that we haven't mentioned for cash games? You wouldn't dare play them in cash games, but they've got some serious upside.
Derrick Henry is a good one. Derrick Henry's had an awesome matchup against Miami. And he's like someone like this is a game script where it should play into his role instead of Deion Lewis. So, I mean, when you have a game that you know is going to be tight or where they're going to be in the lead, I think that's when you play Derrick Henry. So at 5,400, he's not bad. And he's probably even a better play on FanDuel where it's half PPR instead of a full PPR. And then like going down the list, like Royce Freeman's a good GPP play. At 4,500, yeah, he's the starter. Seattle is not good. They've lost so many players. I mean, their front four is okay, but their linebacking core, KJ Wright is out for this game. Their safety duo of Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas is reportedly coming back to the team. I don't know if he's going to play, but he's a free safety, so he doesn't really affect the run game as much. I think Royce Freeman's a decent tournament play, but one play that is on the Sunday night, I think Ty Montgomery, and I know we're trying to stick to, you guys were talking about the main slate, but I think Ty Montgomery at 3,700 is a good play in tournaments.
What names do you have for us, Doug?
I'm shocked we didn't talk about McCaffrey, but I know we're going to move on here. He's a guy that I would put in cash games, honestly, at this point. Or it's at least close, so not to go too far down, but McCaffrey is close and definitely for GBPs, especially if his role expands. I could see Kenyon Drake getting a ton of touches, especially if Tennessee picks up the pace this year under LaFleur. Going the opposite way, just that opposing pace makes a huge difference, especially really for everybody. Kind of like a rising tide helps all ships. But like I could see Drake just getting a ton of touches in this game. And if that's the case, then I think he, Alex Collins, and James White are like my three biggest GPP plays from running back perspective.
Chris Carson, they've said he's going to be the bell cow. Rashad Penny's still a little bit banged up. Yeah, he's going to play. But Chris Carson, I could see him getting 25 touches, even against Denver having a big game. Peyton Barber at New Orleans. I know New Orleans has a much better defense, but again, Peyton Barber is the guy there. And you never know what's going to happen with the game script. So GPP, you get some feels out for guys like Peyton Barber in my mind. And then finally, Saquon Barkley. I know Jacksonville was a lot better at the end of the season against the run. And I know Barkley's a little bit banged up, but we've also seen Jacksonville get crushed by the run. Derrick Henry went nuts on them. Saquon Barkley could do the same thing. Nobody is going to play him.
I disagree. The reason I didn't put Saquon in my tournament conversation, because I want to, when you're playing in tournaments, it's like I'm looking for guys that are a little lesser owned. I think people can't wait, especially like the amateur fan cannot wait to get Saquon Barkley in their lineup.
I was doing a draft for someone last night, just like kind of helping out a friend and doing a draft, and Saquon went ahead of David Johnson. So I think you're right. I think the average fan wants to just play. I mean, it's a donkey move, it seems like, but like I agree with you. The average fan is always loves shiny new toys. They just want to just believe, especially Giants are like a very just public team as well. And so I do not want to play him at all, but I'm with you that the average fan just can't wait to get their lineup hands on a guy like Barkley.
Okay, we'll go to wide receivers in just a second, but first I want to talk about another one of the sponsors of today's show, Vivid Seats. The best place to follow your fantasy lineup on Sundays this year is at the stadium, cheering on your favorite team while keeping tabs on your fantasy team with the help of Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats can help get you tickets to watch your NFL team at a great price. And to make it even better, Vivid Seats is offering Fantasy Pros podcast listeners an exclusive discount. Enter the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for 10% off your first ticket order with Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com or download the app. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. The season officially starts this week, so be there in person with Vivid Seats and use the Fantasy Pros exclusive promo code FANTASYPROS to receive 10% off your first order. NFL, college football, concerts, and theater, use Vivid Seats for all your favorite live events and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS. All right, guys, let's go wide receiver now. And I know a lot of people are going to play Antonio Brown. I really want to spend up at wide receiver. I mean, there's a lot of value here. But like Tag said, you want to get the targets in cash games. And I wholly trust AJ Green and Keenan Allen. I want them both really bad. So I put them in my lineup first, and I built around them. Tags, let's go with you first. Did you do the same thing with wide receiver, or is it just kind of like, I'll take any of these old guys? Brown, Green, Thomas, Allen.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, AJ Green is like a must play. He's like a lock for me. He has to be in lineups. 7,300, he's cheaper than quite a few receivers for obvious reasons. He won't be as heavily owned because people will go down or up. He's in that weird that territory where people aren't going to play him. But AJ Green, believe it or not, has been much better on the road than he has been at home over his career. Same with Andy Dalton. So whatever the case is between those two, they play better on the road, and the Indianapolis does not have a corner even close to the talent level of him or John Ross. I mean, John Ross could be thrown into a tournament lineup if you want to go contrarian, but AJ Green, I mean, this dude should have 100 yards and a touchdown this week. So it's like, I'd play him in cash, I'd play him in tournaments. I think he's a fantastic play, and I also like him and Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown, if I can get the three of those in a lineup, I am like legitimately just jumping around my house all day.
That would be sweet. Doug, what do you think about these guys? Who's the top wide receiver?
For me, from a dollar perspective, it's Keenan Allen. I know you just mentioned him, but he, just in terms of targets, I have, so there's one area that I think that you could see significant regression on for him, positive regression, and that's touchdowns. Last year, he was, I believe, top two in terms of red zone targets and had by far the worst conversion rate of anybody in that group. And so if that is going to continue to be the plan in the red zone, the touchdown number seems like it can only go up. And I said this before on our podcast, but had he converted even a reasonable amount of those targets, the fantasy points per game would look similar to the group above him, and he would just be more expensive this week. So I try to figure out like where the pricing maybe missed something. It didn't miss because I get why they did it. So I love Keenan Allen this week. My only concern there is they brought over Kendall Fuller in that Alex Smith trade, and so getting him in the slot as opposed to what they had last year is an upgrade for the Chiefs defense in that one particular position. And considering Allen runs on, you know, majority of his routes out of the slot, that is my only issue with him. And I definitely like him more than AJ Green, even though I agree with all the points made about Green and sort of the matchup that they're going against, which looks pretty good. My only concern with Green is that it seems like the receiving core is better this year, right? If like you figure that Mixon is going to catch more passes, they have John Ross and they're getting Eifert back. Like, that's my only concern, is that like last year they didn't really have any other options besides him, and they just have more now. So I guess that's my only reason I would ding. It's not even a ding on Green. It's just my only thing where I get a little bit worried about, you know, him seeing on lock double-digit target share. That'd be my only like kind of downside to him.
By the way, I wanted to remind everyone that over the final 8 weeks of the season, Keenan Allen had 152 half PPR points. That's 19.1 per game. To put that into perspective, number three, Julio Jones, was down at 14.4 per game. So Keenan Allen turned into an absolute superstar in the second half.
He's an every lineup guy for me, for sure. Every lineup cash.
So really quick, so are you guys have any concerns? So the cornerback situation in Kansas City was actually worse last year. As you mentioned, Kendall Fuller is the reason that I'm not going to play Keenan Allen in cash. So Kendall Fuller is an up-and-comer. He was a slot corner in Washington. I don't know if Kansas City is going to use him on the perimeter with Steven Nelson, because they did sign Orlando Scandrick, and he's listed as the number three right now. So he's pretty much a slot-only corner. So my guess is that they have Fuller play the perimeter when Keenan Allen's out there. Me personally, I would have him travel into the slot with Keenan Allen, being he has experience out of the slot. And Keenan Allen last year against a worse secondary, he totaled 5 catches for 61 yards the first meeting, 5 catches for 54 in the second meeting. And that was like one of the games in the second half of the season where he was like on fire, and he actually slowed down for 1 week. And I think it has to do with the fact that the Chiefs always handle Phillip Rivers pretty well. And again, this is a lot worse defense, so there are some variables here, but I feel like it's more of a Melvin Gordon game. I'm not saying Keenan Allen's a bad play at all. I'm not saying that at all, because I think he's better than Kendall Fuller.
You better not say that or I'll body slam you.
But I'm just saying that, I mean, like when looking at his price point, there's other guys around that like area, like I said, AJ Green and Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas is going to be in the conversation for number one receiver off the board next year.
Yeah. I just wrote my article today doing projections, and I could see Thomas having like just a monster season. You saw him come out and say he's not playing games anymore, right, on Twitter?
Yep, and the Bucks don't have a cornerback to hang with him, and he knows that. And that's the thing. Like, Michael Thomas, if you go and you watch his tape, like, you know, when we talk about the Game Pass and all that, by the way, NFL.com/fantasypros, get a free 7-day trial. But if you go on there and do that and actually watch Michael Thomas as a route runner, the dude's, like, out of his mind. So good. He's so good. Like, it's not just Drew Brees, guys. It's a combination of Drew Brees being really good and Michael Thomas being a phenomenal receiver.
Okay, so if we spend up, those are the guys we like. Green, Allen, Thomas, Brown, all four of them are in play. Is there anyone in this middle range that you're really fond of? Because I'm not seeing it, Doug. Maybe I like Corey Davis, but I don't think I can trust him in cash. Kenny Stills, I would just rather, you know, go up and get the big guys and then get a value play.
From a cash game perspective, not really. From an upside perspective, I you could talk yourself into T.Y. Hilton for sure. I mean, I don't know what exact tier you're talking about here, but if, let's say it's like the 7,000 range on FanDuel, something like that. I mean, Hilton, if you think Luck is fully back, Hilton basically led the league in receiving yards the last year Luck was healthy. And so there is real reason to believe that he could bounce back if you think Luck is healthy, right? So, like, I think that he has tremendous upside. He's one of the biggest standard deviation guys you'll ever see. This guy is the very definition of all or nothing, right? On a weekly basis, it's either completely happening for him or you might as well just turn the TV off and just go do something else if you played him. So, and you can kind of see it kind of comes early or it doesn't. So I like him. I really like Chris Hogan too in that range. Brady's wide receiver core is, this is a core that's like suspect at best in terms of, and if we know anything about Brady, is like that dude chooses his favorites and those favorites get work, right? Like they just, it just happens every single year. It's Edelman, you know, it's Gronk, it's the guys out of the backfield. And I think that Hogan, if you're just looking at longevity with the team, I know he was hurt last year, between the touchdown upside and the fact that I think we could see an uptick in targets, he is a tremendous GPP stack, cause, mostly because of the touchdowns. And also, I think if there's any guy that I think will be a lot more expensive next week, it'll be him. Like if he sees like 12 targets or something like that, which is not out of the realm of possibility with a guy like Brady, because the guy, we just have a long track record of him just feeding the guys that he wants to feed.
Okay, so Tags, what do you think about Hogan? Is there someone else in the mid-range that you prefer? I mean, I know you're a big Hogan guy, and you've got to be this week, right?
Yeah, I like Hogan. I just don't see that, like, the Patriots just don't seem like a team that's going to run the ball very well this week. I don't know if Hogan's going to get open, like, down the field. I don't know if Brady's going to have much time to throw against this front seven of the Texans. So I like Hogan. He was actually on my list as a player I wanted to discuss. But I think you could look at Brandon Cooks as a good play, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm hearing you say this.
No, it's funny because I wrote that in the primer, which, by the way, went up this morning. If you guys haven't checked it out, I talk about every player from every game. But Brandon Cooks, I'm not usually a big fan of him in cash for obvious reasons, but his price this week kind of makes me okay with it. He's 5,600 on DraftKings. And that's what I'm saying, is like that you're taking very little risk. And when you look at Oakland's situation, Oakland is just not a very good football team right now. And Brandon Cooks is going to be going up against their rookie cornerback from last year, Gerrion Conley. That's the cornerback that's going to match up with him. He only played, I think it was 92 snaps last year, so he doesn't have very much experience in the NFL. Brandon Cooks, people want to draw the parallels to him and Sammy Watkins, but the difference is that Brandon Cooks has had the entire offseason to work with Jared Goff. He was actually working with Jared Goff before he was traded to the Rams. They were working out together. So Brandon Cooks, I believe this is a matchup that he can dominate. And again, when you look at the safety duo they have there in Oakland, they're not even starting some of the players that people thought they were going to. So I think this is a matchup where I'm okay with it, because the upside that you're going to get with Cooks, you know that he's going to be involved in the offense. The game also has an over-under of, I think it's 49.5. Which is one of the highest numbers on this entire slate. So odds makers are kind of telling us this is going to be a higher scoring game than people think. I don't know where it's going to come from on the Oakland side, but I can tell you on the Rams side of the ball, Brandon Cooks is a good play.
So here's the three cash game plays that I like for the mid-range. Larry Fitzgerald, yeah, sign me up. You know he's going to get the targets, right? Stephon Diggs against San Francisco. I like Fitzgerald more, but Diggs is not a bad play. And then finally, Jarvis Landry. Because if Josh Gordon doesn't play as much, I think Landry's going to get a lot more targets. But even if Josh Gordon does play, he's going to match his value at his price point. So I think Landry is a solid play. Of those guys, I would definitely choose Fitzgerald. Doug, any more guys before we go into the value plays?
No, I like the Landry pick. I think I would probably disagree with the Cooks pick. One of them, only because like I just get really worried about guys moving into situations where the rest of the plays were already known and already got the usage. So I guess that's where I'm not trying to be contradictory to things, but just if I'm being honest, I want to say like I'm not personally as bullish on Cooks. I know those are the guys I was kind of hitting on. There are, I think for me, a bunch of lower tier. The reason I think you can pay for running backs a lot this week is that there are, to me, many value wide receivers in like the 5,000 and below tier.
I have two of them. Everyone's going to say Keelan Cole. I actually don't think he's really that safe for cash games. I'm a big Jags fan. I watch him. He's an air yards guy. He's not a work over the middle of the field type of guy. Going to get a bunch of targets because Marquise Lee's out. He's going to get a 40-yard catch. And maybe it'll be a touchdown, and maybe that'll be his only thing that happens during the day. Yeah, he's technically the number one, but I don't think he's going to get worked with targets. So I don't know if he's safe for cash games. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, it's close. One thing I look at more than anything else is where targets, which teams had targets just disappear from over the course of the offseason, either between trade or free agency or just injuries. The Jags, they jettisoned like every target, basically, between Lee and Hearns and guys that are just gone now. And so I hear what you're saying on Cole. I think stacking Cole and Dede Westbrook together is fine. Like, gives you a pretty high floor just because of their price. These, by the way,
I think it's Moncrief over Dede.
Really interesting, because my Dede's, like, his targets per game, I know they didn't have Moncrief, but, like, his targets per game were among the top on the team when he was actually playing. I know he came back late in the season.
Moncrief starting, though. Andy's the red zone guy.
Yeah, it's close. Oh, I guess my general point is this. I think that you can reasonably, I can't even believe I'm saying this because Blake Bortles is the quarterback, but I think you can reasonably play either you know, run multiple cash game lineups where you have a percentage of each, or even think about pairing some of these guys together, because this is just the whole story for them passing wise. Like, they don't have anybody else. And I get that it's the Jaguars, and I get that it's Bortles, and
But the Giants were horrible last year on, you know, against the pass, and Bortles does have big games, so I can see the appeal.
Yeah, so I think I have right now Cole in cash, because he was the second overall target, and, you know, understanding what you said is definitely correct, and I'm not going to feel great about it, but I feel a lot better because they're just coming so close to the minimums on both sites.
Tags, my value play is your guy. Thank you so much for this tip. I am all in on Josh Doctson. He's in my cash game lineup.
I'm not telling anybody to use Doctson cash, but I do like Doctson as a
do it
as a sleeper play this week. What is he, 4,200? I think on DraftKings.
He's cheap, man.
Yeah, he is pretty cheap, and I threw him in a tournament. Oh, 4,500. So I threw him in a tournament lineup for sure. One of them so far. I just started creating lineups. Like I said, this is usually when I start to get heavy into DFS, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but. In cash, I can't use Keelan Cole. I say that because it is Blake Bortles, and I understand he's so cheap. He's $3,800. Like, I really do get that, and it's appealing in a way. But again, this is the week where I'm paying for wide receivers, and if you're looking for just like a solid floor, I mean, why not look at Danny Amendola? Danny Amendola is 4,200 on DraftKings. And the reason I say this is because it's a game where Miami might be competitive. They're not going to be able to run the ball in Tennessee, that's for sure. Tennessee has been a top five run defense in each of the last two seasons. They added to that defensive line. Benny Logan's there now. So I don't think they're running the ball at all. Now, they're going to use Kenyon Drake, as you mentioned, in the passing game. But Danny Amendola has been the one who's been starting all along. Devontae Parker's out of the lineup, which means Albert Wilson's going to be playing on the perimeter, which doesn't suit his play style. Kenny Stills, if you look at Kenny Stills' splits with and without Devontae Parker, almost nothing changes. Why does that happen? Because Kenny Stills is not an alpha dog. Like, he's never going to be that guy. And that's the thing, is like, I like Kenny Stills the player, but he's never going to be that guy. So don't all of a sudden just jump him in your projections. So when you look at the pass attempts, where they have to go, Amendola is filling that Jarvis Landry role that, you know, has gotten, you know, 150 plus targets over the last 3 years. So I think Amendola at 4,200, if you want to play someone really, really cheap in cash, I think he is worth a look.
All right, Doug, do you want to really quick list your other cheap value plays that you like?
Yeah, sure. Alan Hearns, just taking over. They lost a ton of targets in the offseason between Witten and Dez. And now Terrence Williams has never really shown that he can step up into that role as a big target guy. And they bring in Hearns in the offseason. I think he's been... really, no one's talking about him at all. Like, I don't know. I know their plan is to run the ball, and it's not a great matchup, and there's just so many targets gone from the Cowboys. I can really talk myself into the San Francisco wide receivers as well. I know the matchup is terrible, but there's a lot of game script things here which can really help them. If you look at San Francisco's, it's very easy, but if you look at the San Francisco guys once Garoppolo took over last year, the Goodwin especially was a huge target guy. Garcon wasn't there, but, you know, projects as a target guy. I can't imagine a scenario where they really get stuff going on the ground and are down early. So I get, you know, Xavier Rhodes is going to have coverage stuff there. And I still think I like the San Francisco guys. And I'm definitely factoring the matchup. They're just coming very cheap.
Okay, guys. Well, let's go GPP really quick. And we're just going to list them. When we go GPP, we'll go rapid fire. Because really, you could play anyone in GPP. But Tags, who are a few of your favorite GPP plays at wide receiver?
Amari.
Yeah, Amari, Corey Davis for me, big time.
Well, what's funny is like Amari, and again, this is not the main slate. This is on the Monday night game. Amari Cooper, 7,100. He's expensive. He's more expensive than Odell Beckham Jr., so he's not going to be played. He's more expensive than T.Y. Hilton. He's more expensive than a lot of guys, right? But Amari Cooper going against the Rams, again, that game has a 49.5 over-under. And so Marcus Peters went there, and people are like, oh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. By the way, Marcus Peters is the cornerback that Amari Cooper hung 200 yards and 2 touchdowns on last year. Amari Cooper has the talent to beat any corner in the league. If they get it together, they're talking about using him like they did Sterling Sharp in Green Bay. So I expect Amari Cooper to be heavily targeted. And again, in tournaments, you have to think outside the box. Tyreek Hill, absolutely. There's not a week that Tyreek Hill is not a tournament option.
Of course.
That never. And I also think Stephon Diggs, 6,300. He's going to match up with Richard Sherman at times. And if you saw how stupid Richard Sherman can look in man coverage, if they do that, Stephon Diggs will make him look silly. He's a good play. Will Fuller is a decent play at 5,100. I didn't think I'd ever say that.
A lot of people are going to play him.
I don't know if they are. I mean, if you notice, we didn't talk about DeAndre Hopkins at all when we were talking about our favorite wide receivers, because Bill Belichick has a history of just removing the number one target from the offense. So Will Fuller or Bruce Ellington, one of those guys is probably going to score a touchdown this week, and Fuller is just 5,100.
Tags, you mentioned John Ross. My other two are rookies, Michael Gallup and DJ Moore. I don't know why we haven't picked on this Dallas secondary, but they're bad. So DJ Moore or Devin Funchess could have a big game. I know Cam Newton's not very good, but who knows what we have in DJ Moore as a rookie. So, guys, let's go quarterback, and we got to move a little bit faster here, unfortunately. My guy is Phillip Rivers. Tags, I know you don't like him against the Chiefs because of historically, but I'm looking at the last 3 years. If you just sort by how many times a quarterback has at least 15 fantasy points, Phillip Rivers is atop that list ahead of Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben. Phillip Rivers is number one. He's a decent price. I think he's got a good matchup. I'm using him.
Fun fact, none of those games that he's done that were against the Chiefs. I mentioned it yesterday on yesterday's podcast, is that you'd have to go back to 2013.
Yeah, but the Chiefs used to have a great defense. Now they have a lousy defense.
But I also think that that's when Andy Reid came in, and I think Andy Reid, maybe it's just something that he understands about the way that Phillip Rivers plays. Maybe he knows how to defend it. I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that, because it's not like the Chiefs were a good defense last year. Phillip Rivers threw one touchdown and six interceptions against them. So they weren't good last year. I think they were 16th in points per game allowed. So they weren't like they weren't like a terrible defense like they're probably going to be this year. But again, I mean, it's a divisional game. It's tough for me, man. Like, I just, the price you're paying, like, there's other options, right? Like, if you want to go, like, he's only 400 cheaper than someone like Drew Brees. Like, give me Drew Brees every day. Andy Dalton's cheaper, and I think he's a better play.
Andy Dalton, I know a ton of people are going to play Andy Dalton. I can't do it in cash games, man. He had a lot of good matchups last year, too. Detroit, 27th defense, 12 points. He went up against Indianapolis, 31st defense. Yeah, he had 18, okay. Buffalo, 26th, 15 points. It worries me, man. Andy Dalton could put up one.
For $5,800, that's all you're looking for. We're talking about 2.5 multipliers, right? So out of Andy Dalton in cash, you essentially need him to score 15 points, and you're gold with that. You're fine with that in cash. He's
going to
do that.
Doug, you're going Andy Dalton too, aren't you?
No.
He's like, no.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to say two things, and they're going to be sort of dichotomous from each other. One is I much prefer the expensive quarterbacks this week, because those guys tend to be in the known quantity factor. Like, this is Brady, Roethlisberger, Rivers. And that's the group in the top end. And like when you run Optimal Lineups from our projection system, you have 8 different quarterbacks in the top 20 lineups. So what does that tell you? It says, one, these guys are almost indistinguishable from each other on a points per dollar basis, because they are, and this is why, again, like season long, it's like, don't draft quarterbacks, just wait, right? Because you're just going to have a guy that can do it. So I almost want to say, and this is going to sound crazy because it's like not even advice, but I want to say, pay up for safety. And also, I'm just not sure this week it matters all that much. But there's so many quarterbacks that are so close in terms of just having a good situation, a good price, you know, a clustering effect around, you know, where their fantasy projections are. I personally am going to go Brady, Roethlisberger, Rivers, and I can easily, strongly make a case for like 10 or 12 different guys, and they all fit the, are they walking into the same situation? So from that point of view, yes, Dalton does check that box.
I don't think anyone is like super safe in there, though. There's no like must play for me.
I don't even think Brady's safe. Like we understand, like, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless healthy at the same time, like, and him missing his starting left and right tackle from last year, missing his starting guard in Isaiah Wynn, who went down in preseason. Like, Tom Brady, I don't think is a safe play this week. Like, if you want to pay up, pay for Drew Brees, because like, at least we know like what he is. We know who he has blocking for him. He has wide receivers to throw to. Tom Brady, they ended their entire their 52-man roster with 3 wide receivers on it. Like, and the running backs are dinged up. Sony Michel's dinged up. Rex Burkhead's dinged up. That's why I like James White so much. I like Gronk so much. Like, Gronk is, this is one of the weeks where you want to pay for Gronk. But that's what I'm saying, is like, I don't think Brady's very safe. And then Roethlisberger on the road has just been bad, like legit bad. Like, the splits are five. It's a 5-year sample size now, so it's a real thing. I can't explain it, and people tell me if you can't explain it, it's not real. If it's a 5-year sample size and it continues to happen, it's real. So that's what I'm saying, is just like, I understand what you see, like, in terms of quarterbacks being so close. I could make a case for a lot of different quarterbacks this week, but if you're going to pay up, why not go Drew Brees, who's a 9.5-point favorite at home, who has Alvin Kamara in the backfield. They don't want to give him too many carries. Mike Gillisley is just a guy. I just think Drew Brees is easy. He's my quarterback one this week.
Fun stat on Brees, by the way. If you look at standard deviation to coefficient of variation, which is like standard deviation divided by mean projection, Brees is like the lowest number ever that I've ever seen, really, in looking at it. It's a 3.5 FanDuel standard deviation. Like, the next closest guy is 5, and then really everyone else is something like 8. These are among the top 20 or so overall scorers from last year, which basically just like the long way to say this dude just did the same thing every single week. Like, it wasn't as great last year because they ran the ball so much, but in terms of just consistency, that consistency number is, well, it's off the charts low, if that makes sense, which is good, like, from a consistency standpoint. So now, granted, quarterbacks trend low all the time. They're just because they are the most consistent thing, and this is why all of them are so tightly grouped. There shouldn't be as wide of a spread on some of their salaries. But yeah, I'm with you on there. The quarterback was my hardest position to pick because you can make the case for 20 different guys, and it's all a legit case.
And that's why I don't want to pay up, is because
And this is why I don't think it matters. This is why I kind of said, I was like, you can just, you're really arguing over decimal points at this point. And so at that point, like, if you're just arguing over, you know, tenths of a point or in terms of overall projection for a lineup, you can make the case to go either way. And I think you're just probably fine. And, you know, asterisk, that's not great advice.
The other guy I considered is Dak Prescott. And, Tags, I know you're not fond of this, but I love Dak Prescott this week. Just want to throw that out there.
It's funny because I debated putting him on the cash lineup, but I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I understand the reasoning, I guess, but I mean, why not play Tyrod?
Tyrod's a really good price, man. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, I'd rather play Tyrod. He's got the better weapons around him. We don't have to wonder.
I don't think we have to wonder about Dak. He's been the number one fantasy quarterback in the 23 games he's played with Zeke. Zeke's playing, right? He's going up against Carolina, who has a bad secondary, right?
Travis Frederick, man, him being out is not a small deal.
Yeah, it's not a small deal. So what? He goes down from number one to number 10?
Well, that's the thing, is people throw out the Zeke splits. It's not just the Zeke splits. It's also the Tyron Smith splits. So if you take out Travis Frederick, it might be an entirely different thing. So
Tyron is twice the player Travis Frederick is.
He plays a more important position, that's for sure. Left tackle, but a center.
Yeah, Frederick is really good. He's not a pro guy. You can't really say anyone's twice him. Okay, let's go GPP, and then we'll go to tight end and DST really quick. For GPP, man, I love Marcus Mariota. I hate to say it. Every time I say it, it sucks, but Blake Bortles has had a lot of big games. So I wouldn't mind using him.
Am I going to win $1 million because of Blake Bortles? Absolutely not.
Case Keenum. Case Keenum, I love for GPP this week.
I think he's a better cash play, actually. I like Keenum in cash, like, for 5,100. He's not bad, but actually Roethlisberger is someone that I would like in tournaments because, like, the sharp people, a lot of people know about his home run splits, so they won't play him against the Browns on the road. But in a tournament, he's always got that upside. And with Le'Veon Bell out, like, when people throw around the whole, the Steelers are just as good an offense without Le'Veon Bell, it's like, it's different. It's like comparing a starting running back's yards per carry with the third down running back's yards per carry. It's a different thing, and you can't do that. But basically, the Steelers can score in so many different ways. Le'Veon Bell has been better on the road than he's been at home in his career, and I think that has to do with Roethlisberger. So maybe Roethlisberger steps up, and maybe it has to do with their game planning. I don't know. There's a new offensive coordinator, Randy Fitchner. He's talking about running no more, no huddle. So I like Roethlisberger in tournaments. And then again, I mean, If you go back to playing the Sunday and Monday, I think Trubisky at 5,600 is awesome. I also think Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback play this week at 6,700.
Wow. Oh, I'm surprised to hear you say that. Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Cam Newton is always a great GPP play. And I actually love Russell Wilson, who tore up good defenses last year. I think he could do it even against Denver. What do you think, Doug? Who are some of your guys?
This just speaks to it. Like, all these guys are so good. It's very interesting about quarterback this week. All of these guys, like I said, I can probably go down the list and make a case for, like, just about every single quarterback here. And what I'm going to try to hone in on is, one, I like quarterbacks that run for GPPs, because the being able to snipe off touchdown upside, but being able to get into the end zone makes a big deal in terms of, like, just the 6 points compared to the 4 points that you get from passing compared to running. And so, guys, you mentioned Mariota at the beginning, the offensive coordinator shift plus his ability to run makes me really like Mariota here, like, as a standalone kind of guy. Like, these are guys that I would say you don't need to necessarily stack with. Cam kind of exists. You can actually go Cam and Christian McCaffrey and not feel too bad about it in terms of quarterback. and running back. But like that list is just so long. Tyrod is a guy that kind of probably checks that box. And just all the other guys you mentioned, Trubisky, our system is really high, and I had to lower him actually because I was like, oh my God, why is it so high on him? I was really more having to do with how cheap he is, but it just really didn't feel, it just didn't look right when I started running lineups with him kind of showing up. But it's all just to say, this quarterback position is, I think what you need to do from a GPP perspective, mostly so you can sleep at night, is to just choose three or four guys and just structure all of your lineups around those guys and then not worry. Because more than any other position, you can get into the, especially if you're making, you know, 50 lineups, let's say, you can get into the, you know, where's my Cousins lineup? Where's my Taylor lineup? You can do that for every single guy and you'll just run yourself to death. So I would just say pick three or four guys. You can make strong cases for any of them. Make sure they stack or correlate well with another thing that's happening in that game and then move on just from a sanity standpoint.
All right, guys, tight end. I think that anybody who doesn't use Rob Gronkowski in cash games this week is crazy.
I actually can make a really good case for Jack Doyle.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. I love Jack Doyle this week. But Gronk, dude.
He's so stupid cheap, and that's why I'll end up with Doyle, just because that'd allow me to get another stud receiver in my lineup. But Gronk is...
I mean, I'll use Doyle on DraftKings, but FanDuel is $5,600. I mean, he's only $2,000 cheaper than Gronk.
And honestly, in DraftKings, if you want to go like contrarian, play Gronk and Doyle.
The Doyle thing, he was second in targets the year that Luck went down, or the last full season he played. And if you actually think that Luck doesn't have his fastball, then Doyle actually seems to me to be a better play, because those are going to be the more targeted routes, especially if you think he's going to have struggle to go down the field. Like if you think he's at 80% or something like that, what he was in 2016, Doyle seems incredibly safe on both sides. I'm fine with the $5,600 price tag. He's very close to a lock for cash games for me on DraftKings, just because of the price. I love Delanie Walker, too. He's a guy that, you know, in a known situation, I think he was fourth overall.
Miami's horrible face tight ends, too.
Right, and so he's walking into a similar situation, could see a pace up. He's a guy that actually, I think, is probably $200 to $300 more expensive than I would really feel great about. And that is something of a premium I'm willing to pay, because his situation just seems so good. And you know, tight end is such a volatile position. That's why they're just traditionally so cheap on DraftKings. And just because they struggle, you know, outside of touchdowns, there's very few volume tight ends, Kelce, Ertz, Gronk, that's kind of the list. And those guys are all typically for me just too expensive because they're the only guys and there's such a separation between them and the next tier, which I think does factor in to sometimes the FanDuel and DraftKings algorithms, is like, what is the difference between player A, B, C, and then D? And they will spread the salary commensurate with that difference. And I think that's why I struggle to sometimes pay up for those guys, because I think they're all just a little too expensive because of how good they are.
For GPP, I love Ricky Seals-Jones. I love Nick Vinette. And then I love, of course, Doyle, Gronk, and Benjamin Watson against Tampa. Benjamin Watson was really good with Drew Brees a few years back. Tags, who are your GPP plays?
Well, you stole mine.
Who, Vinette?
Well, Nick Vinette. I talked about him on yesterday's show. I like Nick Vinette. I actually grabbed him in a couple leagues with Ed Dixon on the non-active roster. Nick Vinette's got the job. And these tight ends for Russell Wilson scored 14 touchdowns last year. I don't think Jimmy Graham is anything special at this point in his career. I don't think Luke Wilson is anything special. So Nick Vinette should be able to walk into that role and catch some touchdowns. So I grabbed him in a few leagues. They're not even necessarily crazy deep leagues either. I just think that Nick Vinette might turn into an option, like where people go to the waiver wire next week and grab him after he does well against Denver, who, by the way, allowed 11 top 12 tight end performances last year. A lot of that was on touchdowns, but Russell Wilson's got to throw to somebody, and Doug Baldwin has a really tough matchup. And again, Jack Doyle, if you were sleeping, and if you haven't read the primer yet, Jack Doyle last year against this Bengals defense with Jacoby Brissett, he totaled 12 catches for 121 yards and a touchdown, which, by the way, was the number one PPR performance by a tight end all year long. And now they're without Vontaze Burfict, so you do the math.
All right, Doug, who's your GPP play at tight end, or a couple of them?
Yeah, Safarian Jenkins is up there, the Jacksonville.
I don't know if he's going to play, though. That's my thing. He's got a core injury. I kind of like Niles Paul because of that, because Niles Paul's a good pass catcher, too.
Well, either way, the Jacksonville does not throw the tight end except in the red zone. Like, they will throw to the, you know, Mercedes Lewis had 5 touchdowns last year, which was by far the most touchdowns per attempt that these tight ends saw in that range. So they don't use them over the middle of the field, and they don't use them as volume catchers, but they do throw to them in those goal line packages. And so I think, and for tight ends, that's kind of really all you're asking for. It's like, can my guy get a touchdown? And so if you can answer that question, and you know, some, not all tight ends are created equally like that. So I think that's kind of where I land. I wish Trey Burton was on this slate, but he's not, because he'd be a guy that'd be a very popular play, I think, if he was there. All the guys you mentioned too, like the Eifert piece, if he comes back healthy, if you think that he's fully healthy and you think they have a range of weapons, then he can, our system is very high on him to the point of almost on cash games, and I get a little worried about just injury stuff with him. So yeah, no, I think you are kind of throwing darts on tight ends outside of that very top group of guys. And yeah, but I tend personally just to go cheap all day with these guys.
All right, guys, let's close out with DST pretty quick. Where do you go here? Do you go Ravens against the Bills, Jags against Eli Manning, maybe even New Orleans against Ryan Fitzpatrick, or is there somebody else that you like for cash games? Doug, we'll start with you.
I mean, Ravens are the highest projection. Buffalo's so bad, right? I mean, like, now that's been factored in. That was a known thing going in. It didn't matter they were going to start Peterman or whatever guy they were going to start under center. So that's why Baltimore was already priced so high. I think they're probably too expensive for how volatile defense just is in general. So I don't think you need to pay all the way up there. Our system likes the Steelers still. This is, I know they've made improvements. It's still the Browns. They're still favorites. I don't love it as much. I want to target teams in slow games. That's like both sides of the Carolina-Dallas game. Those games just where I can keep points off the board, because that is actually the easiest thing to predict. The defensive touchdowns and things like that, you're kind of just going to run into those. I mean, good defenses will do it more than others. But in general, those are very just lucky occurrences. So after that, I want to just find teams that are not going to score. And that game, while they're known guys and they're very public guys like Cam and Dak, that game projects to be very, very low scoring because they just kind of stand around and run the ball. So that's kind of where I'm landing. Maybe even the Seahawks versus Denver, because I don't think that Denver is still very good. But I'm probably going to go for cash games. I will often play multiple defenses just because there's almost like quarterback, there is a very thin spread in terms of overall projection.
Tags, where are you going, man?
Yeah, if I'm paying up, I'm going to go with the Ravens. That just seems like a no-brainer at home against a Buffalo team that's starting Nathan Peterman, who, by the way, threw 5 interceptions in the first half of his last start, so no big deal. The Saints are a decent option. Tampa Bay has Ryan Fitzpatrick playing. He kind of does the whole D-gaff thing, where he'll throw the ball up. He doesn't care. He has no starting left tackle. Donovan Smith's out. The offensive line wasn't good to begin with. So Donovan Smith's not even good, but knowing that he's down to the second string tells you a lot. So those are the two defenses that I'm paying up. But if you want to save some money, I think that the Patriots could turn out to be a decent play at 2,400. Again, they're at home. They're a big favorite. Deshaun Watson, as much as people want to love Deshaun Watson, he kind of throws up some of those jump balls, and it could be a situation where they're just playing from behind and you might see some sacks rack up just because they don't have a good offensive line. We've learned that his mobility might be a little bit limited and they're extremely cheap. So if you want to go that route, I don't think they're the worst of plays there.
I'm still going with the Jags, guys. I mean, the Jags just get it done. Eli Manning's a turnover machine. I mean, the Ravens are good, but the Jags are really, really, really good. Anytime they play a bad offense or an offense that turns it over a lot, I think you have to play them in cash.
Well, it's tough to game plan against a team that you haven't seen. And that's why I think that I like, you know, like looking at the Bears offense and talking about Trubisky and like then looking at this and like talking about the Giants offense that they haven't seen on the field with Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. Like, there's so many pieces here. It's like, how do you game plan for this? And I know Jacksonville's got their way, and I know they have a ton of players on that defense, but I don't know, man. Pat Shurmur is a pretty smart dude. That's the only reason I'm shying away from Jacksonville, but I don't think they're a terrible player or anything like that. The sacks should be there.
Okay, guys. Well, that's all for today's show. Doug, thank you for taking the time to join us. Lots of fun.
Yeah, much appreciated. Good luck in week 1.
And for those of you listening at home, remember we've got the signed Todd Gurley throwback Rams jersey giveaway from Pristine Auction. That's Pristine. Check out what they have for you. Hundreds of lots that end daily. Guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And remember to check out DraftKings. Download their app. They're giving away $2.5 million this week. Sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS and we'll give you one free shot at the $1 million contest. And thanks also to Vivid Seats, where you can get 10% off your first order by going to vividseats.com and entering the promo code FANTASYPROS. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. With the new deck.
Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.